the Bible. In the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, make sure everything's in sync up there. I don't know how many evenings we've already looked at this, and I'm trying to discipline myself to move a bit faster. When I'm studying passages of Scripture, I can settle in to a couple words and spend a few hours studying a couple words in a verse. And so it's not hard for me to get, I don't know if I want to use the word bogged down or what, but I'm going to try to move quicker. We may get through two whole verses this evening, if the Lord helps us. But the last time we got this far, so far in our study, as you can see through the fourth verse of the first chapter. And in this outline, the Roman numeral 2 was, praise God for his spiritual blessings. And I don't know if you noticed the worksheet on the Welcome Center or not. If you did, good. If you didn't, that's okay too. But capital A was, praise the Father for his work of supreme love. And under that, praise God for his blessing. Praise God for his decrees. And we saw the timing of his decrees. Before the foundation of the world, God was decreeing his purposes. Then the purpose of his decrees, that we should be holy. The plan of his decrees, that we should be without blame before him in love. And so this evening, we continue with this. And we want to praise God for our adoption. For our adoption. And reading in verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians chapter 1. We read, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, you all know by now that Paul's letter to the Ephesians is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And within Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it's hardly a week goes by that I don't quote it sometime in my teaching or preaching. But that verse 6 doesn't get much better than that either. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Can we praise God for his grace? Wherein his grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And we'll look at that as we go along. So thinking of that third point then that we get to this evening, praising God for our adoption. As we just read there in those two verses, we see, first of all, the initiation. The initiation. And what do we mean by that word? Or the beginning, the source of our adoption. And it says, it uses this word, having predestinated us. Well, we find the word predestination twice in this first chapter of Ephesians. And then it's also found twice in Romans chapter 8. I don't know if you can put a finger there in Romans chapter 8. We'll look at it a little bit here. Predestination has to do with God's purposes for the saved. His purposes for the saved. And we need to understand that. The word means to predetermine or to decide something beforehand. To predestinate, to predetermine, or to decide something beforehand. Well, in its use by the Apostle Paul, we ask the question then, what was decided beforehand? What did God decide beforehand? Well, God decided or predetermined what he would do with us. What he would do with us. And when I use that word us, I'm talking about believers. What he would do with believers. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it's dealing with his purpose to adopt us into his family. To make us, and we'll look at that in more detail in a minute. Down in verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 1, we see this purpose there that he determined was that we should be to the praise of his glory. And we read that in verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians 1. We read, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Okay, well, what's all that mean? Well, Paul explains it to us, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So Paul tells us what his purpose is. What is his intention? That word, that, at the beginning of verse 12, tells us that his predetermining, his predestinating had to do with that we should be, that our lives should be to the praise of his glory. Speaking of us who first trusted Christ. Now, if we go to Romans 8, Paul reveals on going to Romans 8, we can see that. Forgive me, get my pages turned. Romans 8, Paul reveals that we're to be conformed to the image of his Son. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, as we would continue here, I might get back to this in Romans chapter 8. He has this purpose. I'm going to back off. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. The intention of our adoption. It's under the adoption of children. To the adoption of children. Now again, those words in quotes there, the adoption of children, just it's literally just one word in the Greek language, in the Greek manuscripts. And it has that literal meaning to place as a son. To place as a son. Now, would anybody agree with me that it's a wonderful thing to be saved and a citizen of the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. It sure is. It's a wonderful, tremendous privilege to be a servant of our God, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing that Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 2 calls us his friends. His friends. But how do we get a hold of this? How do we comprehend his goodness to us in making us part of his family? Huh? In making us part, as he describes what he does for us. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I keep wanting to get ahead of myself. But in our salvation. In our salvation. And it's one, again, being saved. I didn't deserve that. Did anybody here deserve that? Not a one of us deserved it. But here we are, the saved of the Lord, belong to him. Oh, how about that? I got it. No, I got it, Bruce. I got it. It was, I enlarged it too large.
That helps.
I didn't look back there behind me. It looks different here. I was trying to fill the whole screen. Okay. Someone should have just pointed. Where were we? To know you're saved. To know where you will spend eternity. To know that, again, I'm trying to avoid using word we're going to get to in a moment. But then the knowledge that God would not just save us, not just give us eternal life, but literally he has made us part of his family. Part of his family. It's amazing. He adopted us. That is, he placed us in his family as children. As children. with all the rights and privileges as if we were a natural born child. Just as if we were born naturally into his family. Now, we see the initiation. And we saw now we see as well the interest of our adoption in that fifth verse to himself. It's his interest to himself. It's important for us to see that in our passage in chapter 1, verse 5, predestinate us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, we'll see a little bit more about that as we go along here. Well, who is this one? This one that's spoken of to himself. Well, if we go back to verse 3, we're reminded that Paul is giving praise in this passage to the Father. To the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some pretty nice spiritual blessings. A few spiritual blessings. Some spiritual blessings. Many spiritual blessings. None of that. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ah. So we see he's adopted us to himself. And again, verse 3 reminded us that Paul's giving praise to God the Father who's poured out those spiritual blessings to us. Now, I can do this at times because something will captivate me. Maybe I'm putting too much significance on this thought. But at times, I can speak for myself. I need to be reminded that I'm a child of God. I need to be reminded sometimes. Jim, you belong to Jesus. It's one of those days you feel like that. Who's the character on Peanuts that's always walking around under the cloud, you know? We can kind of be feeling that way sometimes. And that's a good time to preach to ourselves, to remind ourselves, you belong to Jesus. You're a child of God. Yes, I'm a saved sinner that, just like you, that battles and struggles at times, but forever, regardless of the struggles, regardless of the battles, will never change the fact that I'm a child of God. That I'm a child of God. And if you're saved, you are a child of God. Well, then fourthly, we see the inspiration of our adoption. God's pleasure. God's pleasure. What's it say? According to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. Can you handle that statement? God does what pleases him. Huh? I mean, we're in a society where everybody's screaming for what? Their rights. Their rights. Well, God does in this universe what pleases him. And there's only one person in the universe that has the right to function that way, as they say in Georgia, that way. And that is God and God alone. God alone can function rightly with that privilege. Now think about it. Let that sink in. God does what pleases him. If you and I settle in to do what pleases us, it might not work out so good. No, there won't be no... It won't work out so good. Why is that? Because our flesh, our desires are corrupt. God and God alone can rightly function doing what pleases him. Because why? Because why? Bad grammar. Because he always does what's right. He always does what's right. The good pleasure of man, even the best of men, is defiled by sin. We all understand that. But God's will is perfect. God's will is absolutely perfect, and His good pleasure is perfect. Can you imagine God doing something wrong? Is there anyone, have you ever heard somebody blaming God for something? I've had people in my office within the last couple of months complaining against God. Why? I'm mad at God because. And they had their reasons, whatever, in that situation. And I says, well, you know, again, how do you answer? How can God do something wrong? If He did something wrong, would He be God? We was talking about that Sunday evening. No, God's will is perfect. And so then what pleases Him is also perfect. Good. Okay, we said all that. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with God doing what pleases Him? What's that entail in your life and my life? If we're going to say it's okay with me, God does with me what pleases Him. Young people, you hearing that? Are we able to surrender whatever it is? Come to the place where we bend the knee to King Jesus. Whatever you want, Lord, whatever pleases you is okay with me. Sure, we acknowledge. We tried to explain this a couple weeks ago. We acknowledge man's right of sovereignty in that sense of self-determination, that when our liberty given to us by God to make choices. Well, we can also choose to give God liberty in our life, to give Him total liberty, to use us, to do with us as would please Him. Independent nations are said to be sovereign in their dealings. But with that said, hopefully we as Christians have a understanding of the Scriptures that complete sovereignty is limited. God's God and is completely sovereign in everything He chooses to do with His universe. Does this world belong to Him? He created it, didn't He? He spoke and it came into existence. And so my thinking about that would be then He has every right to do with His creation as what pleases Him. As pleases Him. Anything less than that is to attempt to deny God right to be God. And of course, that's not going to work out too good. Who are we, as Paul asked, to reply against God? But then secondly in here, we see God's grace. Verse 6, back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, if we understand what these first few verses of Ephesians teach, we're prepared and we should be anxious to give God praise. If we can get a handle on just the great blessing that is ours in Christ, well, then we should be overflowing with praise for Him, with praise for our God. Consider for a moment just the blessing of being a recipient of God's grace. Just that. What do you mean, preacher? Well, God was pleased to show grace towards us, to extend His favor towards us. Have you received that grace? If you're saved, You have the slightest understanding of what it means to be saved, you'd say, well, sure, amen. Praise God. Praise God. If we understand our own nature and our condition, natural condition, then we should surely be shouting to the rooftops for what God's done for us through his grace. Without God's grace, where am I? Without his grace, I'm a lost, hell-bound sinner with no understanding of my condition and destiny. That's the whole lost world around us. Has no clue. This world has no clue. Our cities are burning. Do they have answers? The politicians have answers? They don't have no answers. The only answer is that our God, in his grace, people need, you and I need God's grace. As a recipient of God's amazing grace in Christ, we just read, you've been given the place of a child in the family, now listen to this, of the very God I had offended before. The very God that I had denied for years. And now he's made me a part of the family. Is that amazing? Wow. Well, even standing before you tonight, as I would say those things, of course, things flash into my mind from those pre-Jesus days, those B.C. days before Christ. Remember some of those days? I sure remember them. And the rebel I was against God. And then have God so work in my life by his grace and in your life by his grace to turn all of that and make you a child of his. To give you a place in his family. Wow. Then we see fifthly here, the accomplishment of our adoption. Made us accepted in the beloved. Wow. Regardless of what this world thinks of you. What's the world think of us? What's the world think of Christians? Has no use for us. The world disdains you for the most part. Oh, you think you're better than the rest of us. But in reality, we know just the opposite, don't we? We know that, oh no, in reality, I understand how wicked I really am. How undeserving I really am. Unless it was for the grace of God. Oh my. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the world has no use for us. It's interesting. I remember, I'm not trying to get political here at all, but I'm just mindful that Vice President Pence is supposed to speak tonight, give a speech tonight in the virtual convention that's going on. And I remember about 4 years ago when the Morning Marsh and I were watching the news and it had come across that President Trump has been... candidate Trump had announced that Mike Pence was going to be his vice president candidate, and they started talking about him and they were interviewing Pence, and I looked at Marsh and I said, man, I wish he was on the top of the ticket. Huh? But the world doesn't like the liberals of this nation, the media, they don't have any use for Pence. Why? Because he's an outspoken Christian. He's outspoken about his... he says God talks to him. We can't trust a crazy man like that. No. I don't care what the world thinks of you. Regardless of what you think of yourself. Get that in your head, beloved. Because Satan sure likes to play tricks on us. Regardless of what you think of yourself. Hey, regardless sometimes of what your family thinks of you. You are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. The beloved there is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You are accepted in Christ. in Christ. He is the beloved of the Father. His only begotten Son. In Mark chapter 1, there at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Mark 1 verse 11, there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son. My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Boy, that tell you, that kind of encompasses several things from our passage here in Ephesians, does it not? God does what pleases Him, and His Son, what? Pleases Him. And His Son indeed is His beloved Son, His only begotten Son. And when God looks at the child of God, when He looks at you that have put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He sees you as one that He's accepted to Himself. One He's received to Himself. You know, I know, and I've mentioned this before, I know it's semantics. It's just words. But I guess it's a pet peeve for me, troubles me, when we talk about accepting Jesus. I let that sink in. We've been accepted by God in Christ. There was conditions to that. What was the condition? Jesus. What Jesus did to pay the price of our sin. We placed our faith and trust in Him. John chapter 1 says, we receive Christ. I don't stand in judgment whether I will accept Him. Again, semantics. But I think a better word for us to use is receive. I've received what Jesus did for me. And we've been accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. You know, it's a human need to feel accepted, isn't it? It's a human need to feel accepted. Children seek their parents' approval and acceptance. It's just part of the territory. It's not necessarily a good thing. The teenagers aren't in here tonight. Well, older teens maybe. It's not necessarily a good thing, but teenagers oftentimes, especially depending upon the circles they run in, will go to great lengths to gain the acceptance of their peers. We all understand that. They'll give themselves to what group? Now, this goes double for the young person or any person, for that matter, that has trouble with their own accepting themselves, self-acceptance, if you will. And sometimes that person will go even extra lengths to try to gain the acceptance of those around them, whether it be a parent, whether it be peers. But it's not just teenagers that have that problem. John 7:24 says this, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Well, it's a wise statement for teens, for all of us. Don't worry about appearance. I remember, it's been a long time since we were raising teenagers, but we did go through raising three teenage daughters. And we survived. Hallelujah. We survived it. And I remember sometimes it would be a battle. You know, whatever the latest fads were, you know, this certain type of shoe or whatever it was, you know. And going through that. Well, everybody's wearing this. And trying to deal with that. You think it's funny. You know, you had to raise kids too. It's too close to the truth. And you're trying to reason with them. Hey, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Yeah, try to get that across to a teenager. Then you find out it really doesn't matter at all along the way. We adults aren't much different, though. We're just more subtle about it. We still deal with it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? What's that whole peer, pressure thing about? Pleasing those around you. Feeling accepted. Hey, you know, it was like when I was a teenager once, Brent. Many, many, many years ago. I was a teenager once. And the pictures have all been destroyed. My wife says, no, I'll have to go dig and make. I mean, there was a picture of me with my, I was probably about 19 years old, with my legs slung over my motorcycle, my bell-bottom frayed. Anybody old enough to remember having to have fringe jeans? Some of you are smiling. My belt and my fringed leather coat. It's hanging off my motorcycle. And I thought I was the coolest looking thing around. Silly as can be. Foolish as can be. I can justify myself. I was lost then. Y'all, you saved teenagers should know better. Well, whose approval should we really desire? Who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to please in every area of our life? What comes out of here, maybe number one, huh? What's going on here and here in our hearts? The outward will be okay if those things are right. But preachers are sometimes just as guilty too. Don't want to leave them out. They'll often, and I've run into this over the years, they'll succumb to peer pressure when it comes to areas of doctrine, even doctrine and practice. They'll do it. And it can be so silly at times, some of the things. I have a dear friend that I have to be careful here because this is streamed. I won't use any names. But he lives in North Carolina. And he was going to a preacher's meeting. It was over across the, he's right on the state line with Tennessee. And he was going to a preacher's meeting over in Tennessee. And he went to the meeting. And he got there and my friend, he was clean shaven. And he got to the meeting. Everybody there had a beard. All the preachers had beards growed in. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But they all had beards. So he went home, and 3 months later, he went back to the same meeting, and he had his beard growed in. And they were all clean-shaven then. I mean, just silliness. Just silliness. And, I remember when I started wearing colored shirts. I'd have a preacher ask me, you wear colored shirts? You ever have a preacher ask you about colored shirts? Pardon? He said about 3 months ago. I mean, you'll go to some places, the preachers only wear white shirts. I don't know what it is. Maybe, again, it's beyond me. I remember being told about a preacher went to a preacher's meeting, and he's sitting out here, and he had a goatee. This was getting a little bit close to home, but he had a goatee, and he's in the preacher's meeting. The guy, the preacher was speaking, and he spoke for 30 minutes about the wickedness of facial hair. The next preacher was that fellow with the goatee. And it's just silliness. Why waste valuable preaching time when we got a book full of Bible? But preachers, again, just the point that it's not, hey, preachers can have the same issues. Trying to be accepted. Worried about whether men, seeking men's approval rather than God's approval. Well, we would all do well to find our peace, our emotional security, if you will, in the amazing, amazing truth that we are accepted in the Beloved. Huh? It's the beauty of that of that invitation hymn, just as I am. Huh? God saved me just as I am. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to leave me like I was before he found me. But we are beloved, accepted in the beloved. That's a tremendous, tremendous blessing in itself, just in itself. But these words carry more meaning that even multiply their blessing to us. We'll try to move along here. Try to get these. I promise to try to get these two verses done tonight. The assessment. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. Let me read that again. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein, or in his grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, so we see the assessment of his grace. He made us accepted. And that word accepted in the Greek is it's interesting. It's a verb form of the word grace. Isn't that interesting? It's the verb form of the word grace. And it's the word charis. You know, many of you know very well our granddaughter Charis. Lots of times I call her Gracie. Because, you know, her name means grace. But in this, then, we see in that verb form, then, he has graced us. Graced us. He has favored us in such a way that he has made us accepted. He made us accepted in his dear Son. In Romans 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts, guess what? It's the word grace there again. It's a form of the word grace. Grace gift. Differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Whether according to the profession of faith. And of course that passage goes on. It's all of God's grace. The assessment of his grace. But then we also see the accomplishment of his grace. We are accepted in the beloved. Now again, just another facet of our blessed position in Christ. Blessed indeed. It's important to remember that outside of Christ, we're unacceptable. Is that should compute, isn't it? If I'm accepted in Christ, outside of Christ, I am unacceptable. I'm unacceptable, defiled by sin, corrupted by sin's filth. But, hallelujah, in Christ, in the beloved, we are accepted. The accomplishment of his grace. Well, I don't even know what time it is. I finished the two verses. I finished two whole verses tonight. Can't believe it. Let me go back, if we would, just for a moment, there to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In that verse 29 that we read earlier, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now again, we see the purpose of behind this word predestination, to get it clear. In this case, that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Now we'll look at this more as we go along here. But I just wanted us to close with this tonight. That God is in this process of making us like his Son. Making us like his Son. It is something that he determined to do before a single person, before one individual was ever saved. God had determined that he was going to fashion us into the image of his Son. Now that's a very important thing. Very important thing. Being mindful of where God found us, of what we were without him. I don't know about you, but the last thing I resembled was Jesus Christ. And of course, still have a long way to go. But to leave here this evening understanding that God is working out his purposes in our lives. It began with our salvation, placing us as children into his family. And what are you trying to do as a parent? What's your purpose? Hopefully your goal, your purpose in the raising of your children is to raise them up for the glory of God. To raise them, what? Preparing them for God to use. Somewhere along the way, we're praying for our children that God would extend that grace to them. Make their need of Christ aware to them. That they would, of course, receive Christ and become that child of God. And in that moment of time, begins, God initiates this process. He's talking about that sanctification process of conforming us into the image of his Son. It's good stuff. I'm just thankful I'm saved. For that time in my life and in your life where God, and I'm a simple guy. Simple guy, got to have simple explanations. But for me, it was just as clear as walking into this room here. If all the lights was off and somebody hit the switch, it was as if God turned the lights on. People would talk to me about Jesus. Anybody get saved the very first time you heard the gospel? I mean, I'm thankful for when that happens. I'm sure it does happen. But for the most of us, I don't think we got saved the first time somebody witnessed to us. The first tract you read or the first time. Most of us, it took some time. I'm thankful the folks didn't give up on me. I'm certainly thankful that God didn't say, well, one and done, that's it. But it was the night I got saved, it was like, wow. Why didn't I understand that a long time ago? It was as if the understanding, God was pleased to give the understanding of all that so many people had been sharing with me for so long. Between my dear father-in-law, I'm probably standing here tonight as a answer to the prayers of my father-in-law. I know he was begging God, please do something with that girl's husband. But God's mercy to us, his undeserved favor. Let's stand together this evening, beloved. Father, we are grateful and thankful for your mercy to us tonight. Thank you that you do love us. I'm thankful that as I stand here before these folks, we can have that peace, that great peace in our hearts that you have made us accepted in the Beloved, your dear Son. Lord, I don't care what this world thinks. I don't care what others think. I care that you love me, that you were pleased to give your Son for me, and for those that are saved in this room. Father, I pray that we would go from this church house rejoicing in Jesus tonight, praising the name above every name, the one that shed his blood for us, paid the price for us. We love you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name tonight. Amen and amen. Lord bless you.